Hey, Ryan, since you're not going to the game, where are you planning on watching the Wildcats?
I'll be stuck at the office, but I wish I could be lounging at home in front of my TV.
Yeah, me too. I've been thinking about getting like a big comfy recliner from Sam Levitt's Furniture.
Ooh, stylish.
Sam Levitt's Furniture has specials on a wide selection of recliners, so you can watch the game in style. You can check out a bunch of options at their Tucson locations. I'm thinking of getting one with swivel action.
Ooh.
But I kind of like the one I saw with cup holders.
Well, while Justin makes up his mind about which recliner he likes best, let's talk some sports.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Blink 182 to start episode 62 of this Wildcast podcast. I'm Justin Spears, Tommy Pachaco.
Gotta bust out the pipes. There's a method to this madness. Hang with us.
There's a method to the reason why we're playing All the Small Things by Blink 182. And man, we gotta really pick on his size. Parker Jackson Cartwright. Man, what a game against the Utah Utes on Thursday night as the Wildcats beat Utah and Salt Lake City 94-82. And all the small things. Well, I'll tell you what all the small things did for Arizona. Parker Jackson Cartwright, 19 points, 4 of 6 shooting, 75% shooting from three-point range, 8 for 8 from the free throw line, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and only 1 turnover.
That's the biggest number to me. That's all he needs to do.
1 turnover.
Yep.
Man, Arizona barely squeaks by Utah, or they squeaked by Utah, I should say, on Thursday night. And it was kind of like a tale of two halves because Utah, most of their points in the first half came in the paint. They had 16 points in the first half. But then when you look at the second half box, only 10 points in the paint. And then what was their three-point shooting?
Utah?
Yeah, Utah.
44% or
64.
Yeah, 46 overall.
46 for the game.
Second half was 64.
64%
yeah.
From three-point range.
It was unreal.
It's crazy.
You think ASU was hot.
Yeah. I mean, Utah, did everything they could. Of course, perimeter defense was a little bit suspect, and that alludes to PJC, Raleigh Alkins, Alonzo Trier, Alex Barcelo, Brandon Randolph, guys like those. However, when I look across at Utah and probably their best player in Justin Bibbins, he only had 14 points.
4-7 shooting.
And was a very – he was efficient.
You're only getting 7 shots up, though, as your best player. You're
however, I mean,
many games.
He's their primary scorer. And
right.
I guess he came to collect points. He just didn't shoot enough, and he fouled out as well. That also played a huge factor as he got in some foul trouble.
Yep.
PJC, with those 8 free throws, played a huge part in that.
The number I do like from Bibbins is the 8 assists. Obviously, the fouls are a problem. 1 turnover again. But, yeah, I mean, Parker Jackson Cartwright had his best game of the year, I think, and took care of the ball and did what he needed to do. Three assists, but he was scoring, so he didn't need to dish as much as he had to in the past. The one number that sticks out to me most in this game that you and I hadn't talked about yet, total rebounds. Arizona had a plus 23 rebounding margin on Thursday night, out-rebounded them 46-23. And that's, if you remember our last podcast with Corey Williams, I was talking about that's one of the first things I look at in every Arizona game is rebounding margin for their opponents, because with Arizona's 2-7 footers, you get Ristic by, who the way, had a good game tonight, hot start. And you have Ayton, who you just can't top that. So Arizona's second in the conference coming in to last Thursday night. Second in the conference to only Oregon in rebounding margins. They're just going to grind away inside. And Sean Miller had this really interesting quote after the night that I'm going to steal from Greg Hansen's column here, which you can read on the Wildcaster app.
Shout out.
From Sean Miller after the game today, quote, DeAndre Ayton was like that football team that keeps running the ball. The other team says, aren't they ever going to pass, and it just wears you out. It's interesting to me because in the past, Arizona has always worn teams down and ground out wins by defense. You know, mm-hmm. he has shot clock violations, he traps at half court, and their defense. College yeah, exactly. And that's what grinds away at teams. But this year, it's DeAndre Ayton. And that's been the consistent theme throughout the year, and it's what's made Arizona who they are. DeAndre Ayton, Thursday night, 24 points on 10 of 15 shooting, 14 boards, only three turnovers, which is an improvement for him over the last game against ASU. More of the same from DeAndre Ayton.
Yes. So are you saying that DeAndre Ayton, Sean Miller compared him to Khalil Tate?
You could say that.
You could say that. Could I mean, because that. You just continuously.
I'd throw J.J. Taylor in there, but Khalil Tate. Khalil Tate. It's got to be Khalil Tate because DeAndre Ayton is.
That I'm the cream of the crop.
Oh, yeah. The so, cream of the crop.
You know, that's who DeAndre Ayton is, and he was that guy tonight for Arizona again. But, yeah, Parker, obviously, I mean, if you want to call him the player of the game, I'd give that to you.
Absolutely. And Ayton. Bringing up Corey Williams again, mm-hmm. talked about him being the bread and butter. Arizona has struggled to find the bread and butter, at least they did in the Bahamas.
Right, right.
Now, Ayton only had 5 points in the first half, and Arizona had a pretty comfortable lead. They were up by 12, I believe. They won by 12. I totally forgot what the halftime lead was.
Largest lead was 17. They're up 14 at half.
14 at half. Mm-hmm. So they were up 14 and a half when DeAndre Ayton only had 5 points. Right. That is ridiculous, man.
and Trier, by the way, only had seven Trier, the whole game. So,
I mean, two of Arizona's best mm-hmm. two players were completely out of the picture just in the first half. And then once it starts to get to the grinding part, mm-hmm. the crunch time, when Utah pretty much cuts the lead. They did cut the lead. Mm-hmm. They tied it up at one point. However, they didn't get the lead. Zero lead changes in this game. But when they made it a close game, who did Sean Miller call on? You saw Alonzo Trier start to make plays late in the game. You started to see him facilitate more. But DeAndre Ayton, man, not 19 points in the second half. If he were to put together two halves, I mean, we could be sitting here talking about Ayton putting up 40 and 20 in a game, which is so crazy.
Would it even surprise you? Would it even surprise you?
Not at all. Not at all. But Ayton picks up his 11th double-double in 15 games. Bruce Pascoe, he's out there where he was in Salt Lake City. Now he's kind of in between travel between SLC and Boulder as the Wildcats get ready to take on Colorado, who also just beat number 4 ASU on Thursday night. Mm-hmm. And they rush the court. Mm-hmm. Pac-12 is making it rain on it with fines.
You know, Colorado is going to be interesting. We do still want to talk about this Utah game, obviously, but Colorado is going to be interesting because, I mean, they're full of confidence right now. Obviously, it's a tough place to play. What's interesting about tonight is that, you know, fans could overreact and go, okay, well, they blew a first half lead. It got close. The defense kind of broke down in the second half and let Utah shoot lights out. But I don't think anyone expected Arizona to come in tonight and blow Utah out of the water. And we've been talking all week about how, you know, Utah is one of the toughest places to play in the Pac-12, you mm-hmm. know, let alone just for Arizona. I mean, just in this game in particular. I mean, it is a tough place to play. They have one of the best crowds in the conference. And I think Arizona jumping out to a 14-point lead at halftime, I was surprised by that. I didn't think it would be that uneven, mm-hmm. you know, through 20 minutes of basketball. So you probably will see something similar on Saturday night against Colorado. You know, Arizona might come out hot, but expect Colorado to stick around.
I do as well. I mean, it was ASU kind of in that hangover state mm-hmm. after the loss to Arizona? Maybe. But, man, I still got to go back and look at Colorado and see what they did to ASU. But ASU's shooting was pretty much up to par. Colorado just kept up with them, and that's also another thing is, will Arizona run into a team where the guards might keep up with them, but will also their front court keep up with a guy like DeAndre Ayton? Because it hasn't happened so far this year, with the exception of the Bahamas trip. Mm-hmm. A pretty hostile environment up in Salt Lake City.
I mean, absolutely, you saw,
and that's
especially in the second half,
and that's expected because. Mm-hmm. you know, well, it was a pretty quiet crowd, and then all of a sudden, an elderly woman did the splits at mid-court at some point during the game, or was it halftime?
Yeah.
And the whole arena erupted. You know, some guys that we, some colleagues like Greg Hansen and Bruce Pasco, they're up there in Salt Lake City, and they said that that was probably the loudest applause during the whole course of the game because Arizona was up by so big.
Right, right.
Hey, why not? An 84-year-old woman doing the splits at midcourt.
Yeah, exactly.
That'll get my applause.
Yeah, I mean, when your basketball team's not doing much, just throw an 85-year-old woman out there and let her do the splits, you know?
Absolutely.
Another thing, are you concerned about Alonzo Trier? 7 points tonight. You know, we get comments from our colleague Miles Standish, who's works in the newsroom with us every night. He loves Miles. Or no, it's not even Miles. Shout out to Miles though. It's Martin Rosales, night editor, copy chief. Every night, every time we post a new podcast, he comes over and loves a sad trombone. That's his first question. Is there a sad trombone in the podcast today? And I go, Martin, there's not, but you should check it out anyway. Alonzo Trier tonight, 7 points, 2 of 5 shooting. What I liked from him was 5 rebounds, 5 assists, both well above his season averages. So he wasn't absent from the floor, but this is you see against ASU, he kind of got off, I don't want to say to a slow start because he was making his presence felt, but a slow shooting start. And again, tonight, didn't get a whole lot of offensive production.
Yeah. And that'll change. I mean, he's going to have his moments mm-hmm. where, you know, he might fall off in terms of scoring. But one quote that Parker Jackson Cartwright said was he's a pro's pro.
Mm-hmm.
When he has an off game or he's kind of rattled or he's not rattled, if the game gets into a crunch time situation, he's never rattled. He always rises to the occasion. And even if he doesn't rise to the occasion, he has no problem, mm-hmm. you know, kind of puffing out his chest and kind of taking over a game. And that's one thing I really admire about Alonzo Trier is his confidence.
Mm-hmm.
He's not cocky on the court. He's not sitting there showboating or, you know, talking trash to players. He is not flashy in any way, shape, or form. However, that confidence, I tell you, I see that Mamba mentality.
Wait, oh boy.
I gotta drop that Kobe reference.
How many Kobe references can you fit into every podcast?
Well, they were serving up Kobe beef at Huntsman Center.
Right. Like you said, to go along with your point, I mean, he's a guy, if this was an Elite Eight matchup and he was 2 of 5 throughout the entire game, obviously it wouldn't be against Utah, so Arizona would probably be in a bit more trouble if he was 2 of 5. But if he was 2 of 5 or having that kind of off-shooting night, I think Arizona, I mean, he's the guy to go to. You want the ball in his hands at the end of the game. He's the guy to take that last shot. Even when he's not on, he's going to be the guy who, and he's going to be confident. He's going to be as confident as he was on, you know, as a 7 of 10 shooting night, as he is on a 2 of 5 shooting night, and you're still going to give him the ball. He's always going to be that guy, regardless of what kind of night he's having. And another thing, his confidence, like you said, his confidence level's never shook, but when he's on the court, he's always drawn attention, you know?
Yeah.
So when they're putting Alonzo Trier, DeAndre Ayton, Alkins, and when Parker Jackson Cartwright goes off like he did tonight, there's a lot of different bodies that defenders have to look at. So when Alonzo Trier gets the ball in his hands, he's going to draw double teams, he's going to draw a lot of zones toward him, mm-hmm. toward that side of the court, and he's just kind of that, he's that kind of player. I mean, whether he's putting up 25, 30 points, or whether he's putting up 7 on a night like tonight, he's always going to be that guy.
Yeah, you're going to double team Alonzo Trier. Good luck. Well, I'm going to give it to DeAndre Ayton. Try to double team him.
Exactly.
So it's always like Arizona always seems to have an advantage no matter what time it is in the game. Mm-hmm. Every offensive possession, they're always ahead, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, quick prediction. Arizona-Colorado, give me a score.
Probably something similar to tonight. I mean, Arizona had a really good shooting night, 50%. I know that's right around their average, but I don't know if they can maintain that again for this entire road trip, seeing as to how hard it's supposed to be. So I'll go, you know, God, you're putting me on the spot with the score here. I'll go, you know, 80-64, something like that. I think they're going to handle them. I don't think Colorado, pardon me, is going to make a run like Utah did. They might, you know, get hot here and there and you know, make Arizona scramble a little bit, but it's going to be a pretty a sizable lead for most of the game, I think.
I think what will happen is Arizona will be in a tight matchup in the in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
Expect Colorado to maybe have a two-point lead at halftime, and then that's when you're going to start to see the wearing down
right.
of Arizona. Again, DeAndre Ayton, too much Ayton. Mm-hmm. There's nobody in the Pac-12, nobody in the country.
The cream of the crop.
That is DeAndre Ayton. But anyways, more about Arizona beating Utah in Salt Lake City and kind of a preview for Colorado and looking ahead for this weekend. We'll go ahead and bring on Arizona basketball beat writer Bruce Pasco. And he will tell us everything that you need to know, I guess, more seen and heard from Salt Lake City, looking ahead to Colorado. They'll take on the Buffaloes Saturday afternoon at noon on Pac-12 Networks. Let's go ahead and talk to Bruce. All right, and we're here with Arizona Daily Star basketball beat writer Bruce Pasco. Bruce, it's a Rocky Mountain trip, so traveling is kind of in a crunch time. You go from Salt Lake City from Thursday night and then into Boulder Friday night. So I know you're kind of on a tight schedule, but thanks for hopping on the podcast with us.
Oh, yeah, no sweat. I mean, it's a lot easier for the team because they get over to Boulder in like literally like 2 hours with an hour flight and an hour drive. I mean, it's insane. They were already there in time to get some, you know, a decent night's sleep after the game at Utah. But, you know, for the rest of us, it's a lot different.
I guess us media aren't as lucky, huh?
So, Bruce, Arizona beats Utah 94-82 in Salt Lake City on Thursday night. And just looking at the box score, of course, you know, DeAndre Ayton had his typical double-double performance, his 11th of the season. 11 double-doubles in 15 games is very impressive. He puts up 24 points and 14 rebounds, but I guess probably the most surprising player was Parker Jackson Cartwright, who had 19 points, 4 for 6 from the field, 3 or 4 from 3-point range, and he also contributed 4 rebounds and 3 assists, and as always, his turnover count is very low. He only had 1 against the Utes. Bruce, what did you take away from PJC's performance in Salt Lake City?
Yeah, he was terrific, I thought, and he actually played halfway decent defense against Justin Bibbitts, who had been really hot for Utah at Oregon last week. But yeah, I mean, especially in that first half, he had 13 points, I think, and hit his 3 or 4 all in the first half. Basically just did what he does. He took the open shots. You know, if the teams are – Utah was focusing on, you know, a lot of other guys, Ayton and Trier in particular, like everybody does. And, you know, yeah. Parker got open on the very, I think the second possession right in front of the Utah bench in the corner and buried a 3 and then hit a couple more in the first half. And, you know, kind of did a little bit of everything. I think Sean Miller said it best. He said he did exactly what a senior point guard should do. I mean, he ran the team. He was only 3 for 1 in assists, but that's still a pretty good ratio. In yeah. fact, is he didn't have that many assists because he was scoring himself out of necessity tonight, and then he also got in a little foul trouble there in the second half.
Bruce, on a night like tonight where Arizona jumped out to an early 14-point lead, really didn't do anything wrong in the first half, and then kind of, I mean, Utah couldn't really miss in the second half. And stormed back, made it, what was it? I mean, at least a 4-point game in the second half, a 2-point game.
Oh, no, they tied it up at one point.
So,
they tied it 3 times.
So, I mean, on a night like this, where it's so up and down, is that concerning to you? Or do you look at it and go, okay, well, Arizona got punched in the mouth in the second half, and they hung in there and won the game. So, I mean, what's kind of the approach for the Wildcats?
Yeah, I think that's the way they're looking at it. I think you have to, because you know, this is a good team, and this is one of the harder places in the Pac-12 to play, you know, and draws the second biggest crowds of U of A. They had 13,000 or so in there on Thursday, and you know, they didn't have their students, but they had a fair amount of them who were wearing FBI shirts and stuff like that. I mean, there's all that going on. So you figure, hey, yeah, okay, they struggled for 10 minutes there in the early second half, and they gave up a bunch of threes, some of which were given up because they were open, but also Utah hit a couple of good ones too. But I don't know. And I thought Utah would hit some. It was just that they didn't hit any in the first half hardly, and then they hit a bunch in the second half. But it evened out overall. I think they were 12 for 26 from three, which is, you know, it's pretty good. And I figured they'd probably hit that tonight at home. I just didn't think it would come that drastic in a lump sum. But yeah, like you said, Dom, at the end of the game when, you know, Arizona kind of pulled away, that's really what you look at. They're in a close game and they found a way to win. And actually it made it look like they won it pretty easily, even though it was a lot tougher than it looks.
Absolutely. Was that kind of Sean Miller's tone after the game too? Was that, you know, we came into Utah and stole a win?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I figured they would pull it out. It just, because it looked like every time that Utah would pull close, you know how it is those games sometimes, and then the team pulls close, and then they take a deep breath, and then the next thing you know, the other team's pounded down. And in this case, it was DeAndre Ayton. Every time, it seemed like every time they'd come close or make a run or tie it, and Ayton would just hit some kind of dunk over everybody, and they'd just stand there. Nobody could do anything. And, you know, so, but then they really pulled away more than I thought at the end. So, yeah, I think if you're Arizona, you gotta be pretty happy. And, you know, and then, you know, at the same time, they found out that ASU lost to Colorado, and they realized, you know, that it was not only that it was big that they were able to win, but also that I think that they're going to be a little more aware of what Colorado can do now that they're coming off a win.
And I totally agree with you, Bruce, on the fact that you always felt that Arizona was going to win that game regardless. Yeah. Because, I mean, even against ASU, Arizona got out to like a 7-8 point lead, and then all of a sudden here comes ASU.
Right.
They start shooting their way back. You know, much like Utah did. I mean, Utah was more lights out from 3-point range than ASU was.
Absolutely.
But at the end of the day, DeAndre Ayton, who only had 5 points in the first half, he's your bread and butter of this team.
Yeah.
And Corey Williams, who's on our podcast earlier this week, said it best. He said the bread and butter right now for Arizona, while it should be Alonzo Trier, considering he's a preseason All-American. He's got all the hype with him. DeAndre Ayton, I mean, there's nobody in the country that could guard him.
No, they can't. No, the only issue they have is sometimes just getting him the ball, which can be a fault of defensive attention that he's getting, or also maybe, you know, just not getting him the ball enough and not trying enough. But I think they're getting that message. And as Raleigh Alkins said tonight, he said, you know, we know every time we get him the ball in the low post, it's an automatic 2 points, and it's up to us to get it to him. You know, I think he means that, but, you know, sometimes human nature being what it is, guys want to take their own shots, and sometimes he doesn't get the ball. But Raleigh said that he felt Utah's defense, like at Utah, was really early on kind of hard to find Ayton in that sense as well. But you're right. I think Corey was right on the money. I mean, you know, 11 double doubles and already, and you know, potentially the number one pick in the draft. I mean, you know, as many weapons as U of A has, that you just don't have that like ever. So how could you not go to him?
And I also believe that Ayton, with his 11th double double, in terms of freshman double doubles at Arizona, I think he's knocking on the door. In terms of being mm-hmm. the top dog, because I'm pretty sure it was a 13 or something like that?
No, the record is 12. Michael Wright.
Said
it, or I think somebody else did too. I'm getting off the top of my head, but it's 12, so he could tie it on Saturday and then break it. And the all-time record is 18, and he'll probably get that one too, of course. In fact, he might even get that by mid-February, the way we're
in January?
Yeah, you know, it might be early February. What the heck? Yeah. That's something else.
Bruce, tell us about the atmosphere in Huntsman tonight, because we saw, I mean, we were looking at photos of T-shirts, and you got U of A. Yeah, U of A, you had FBI shirts, you had the bear,
or down goes the bear.
And, I mean, obviously it picked up in the last 20 minutes as Utah couldn't miss, but tell us a little bit about it.
Well, I was really frustrated because at Utah here, we sit about halfway up, so I couldn't hear a thing that they were saying. And in fact, I asked our photographer, Kelly Presnell, about it. He said the one thing he heard was he was over near the students at one point in the game. He said the one thing he heard was somebody yelling at Keanu Pender, of all people. Said, I guess Pender is when he scored or made a good play or something. The guy said, "You can't do that. You're not paid to do that." You can imagine if they're saying that to Keanu Pender, what are they saying to Ayton? What are they saying to Alonzo Trier and Raleigh Alkins? I mean, come on, you know. So it must have been pretty wild. And Sean Miller, he usually doesn't make too big a deal out of that other than just to say, hey, it was a tough crowd or a tough environment. Today he went out of his way to say, at Utah, he went out of his way to say, you know, it was nasty. Basically, he said it was a nasty crowd, very, very vocal, tough environment.
Someone's,
you know,
someone's going to have to get that trip to Tempe.
Something. I mean, I imagine, you know, it was probably a lot of those things along those lines. But it's interesting because, I mean, in the days when all this stuff happened in September, when that investigation stuff came out, I mean, one thought I had was, boy, they're going to have a lot of fun playing on the road this year, you know. And this is, you know, at Utah here, and it was almost sold out, and you still have probably – there's probably, I don't know, maybe 1,000 students here, and they're not even in school yet. So mm-hmm. you can imagine when they go to, like, UW in early February and they're in school and they're playing pretty well, if they keep playing pretty well, and those are good fans that have – they sit also pretty close to the bench. I mean, that could be just unbelievable as well. And, you know, even some other places in Oregon State or Washington State where the students can get pretty rowdy as well for big games. So, you know, that they got to learn to deal with it. And I think one thing Miller said was that the more times they see this environment and play in it, the better off they are. And, you know, maybe it works to their favor. At some point, they build that tougher skin to it, and it makes them play better. Maybe it can be a good time to win.
All right, Bruce. They should also, I mean, looking at that Utah game, I almost think you would add more fuel to the fire considering Lorenzo Romar is on staff. Mm. Maybe.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you think they'd have a lot of respect for Romar considering everything he's done for that program.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll be a big deal when we get there. But they do. I think, you know, I think, I don't know, I mean, not being from there, but just the sense from reading about it and hearing about it, it seems to me that there was a lot of respect for him. But the program had kind of leveled off, and it was kind of like, okay, you know, let's make a change. In fact, the only reason they, you know, I think the sense was the only reason they didn't make a change earlier was that, you know, Romer had recruited so well. And mm-hmm. so they wanted to see what happened, of course, is, you know, if Michael Porter had been there or whatever. But so there was that sense that maybe that. But, he seems to be a generally nice person. I just, it'd be hard to imagine that they would razz him. I think he would. Frankly, I think he'd probably get, you know, an ovation when he comes back.
Absolutely.
We'll see how it goes.
Kind of one of those. Thanks for what you done, but get out.
Like, yeah. Kind of like
Yeah.
Isaiah Thomas the other night when he went
exactly.
back to Boston.
Exactly.
All right, Bruce. Yeah. Before we let you go, Colorado, they beat number 4 ASU. Fans stormed the court. Boulder is going to get a nice $25,000 fine from the Pac-12. What have you seen from Colorado, and how could they possibly present a challenge to Arizona considering they just beat ASU?
Well, I actually think that they haven't been playing very well until tonight, but I thought they'd be a better team than they were. They're just, I think they have a lot of new pieces that they're putting together, and I think maybe they're starting to come together now. And they have two really, really good players in George King, that wing player that's been around for a while, and then they got this McKinley Wright, the scoring point guard they have that was going to play for Sean Miller's brother at Dayton until he left, and then he came to Colorado and just sort of fell into their hands, and he's been terrific for them. And they've got some other players, and they've got a 7-footer that they can put on Aiden. I don't know whether he'll be able to do much. He's not too polished at this point, but, you know, they've got some bodies there, and, you know, the biggest thing about it, though, probably is going to be the atmosphere, and, you know, the altitude and all those kind of things could help them a little bit. And the fact that it's at noon on Saturday is probably going to be in Colorado's favor as well, because that's an early start for Arizona. They got to roll out of bed and try to have an early breakfast, and then get out there and get fired up for what should be a pretty tough environment. So my guess is if Colorado's going to give them a game, I mean, granted, they have pretty good players, but, you know, if they're in the game and or they win it, it's going to have a lot to do with the environment, I think.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that is Arizona Daily Star beat writer Bruce Pasco. You can follow Bruce on Twitter at Bruce Pasco. Bruce, we always enjoy having you on the podcast.
Yeah, no, it's fun to do these. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. Take care.
Take care, Bruce.
All right.
Special thanks to Arizona Daily Star beat writer Bruce Pasco. Always dropping the good stuff on Arizona basketball. And is that closing time in the background?
That's what it sounds like.
Well,
coming in, is that time of the day already?
It is that time of the podcast. We always appreciate you listening to us. Again, Arizona basketball is a big part of the Southern Arizona community, and we always appreciate you. Dom and myself always appreciate you for always listening to
us. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, seriously, thank you for listening. If you made it to this part of the podcast. So
only if you made it to this podcast.
Anyways, you can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at the Wildcaster, and don't forget to download that free Wildcaster app. For Dom, I'm Justin. We'll see you next time.